love you so
tonight
much.
When it gets
I appreciate
counted.
That. It's so good to be here. If you're a guest this morning, I really want to encourage you to come back when I'm not here. You need to hear Pastor Zawadzki preach, especially you probably never heard an intelligent Polish man preach. You will hearing him. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. My wife is from a Polish family, the Sadlowskis. Hamtramck. How many know where Hamtramck is? All Polacks there. And that's where she's from. Galunkies and pierogies and the whole thing. It's good stuff. And praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're here. We won't keep you long. I don't have a long time to preach. My dad used to say, get it said, get out of the way, and let God work. And but that's what I want you to do. Thank you for reading the whole chapter, Pastor, with the church. I was going to reference and teach through the 50th chapter of Isaiah. It certainly is a picturing of our suffering Savior. Yes. Isaiah was the prophet who 800 years before Christ saw what other seers could not see. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It was to Isaiah. He saw the suffering Savior. And in the 27th chapter of Matthew's gospel, the Bible says in verse number 45, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And then Jesus cried on the cross, one of the seven sayings of the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Isaiah saw the suffering Savior in darkness. That seems to be a contradiction of thought, that Jesus could be in darkness. Hear me, church. He took our place. Yes. He entered into the darkness of our sin. You hear me this morning? No matter how well-intended you might be and how good you may be, comparatively speaking, earthly, He took your sin, your suffering. He took what you otherwise deserve, and that's hell. The Bible speaks of hell as outer darkness, the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You say, how could it be dark and have fire? I really don't know. But the Bible says that there is fire that never is quenched and that it is dark at the same time. Someone said that there is a heat that is at a degree that there is no light associated with it. I don't have the understanding of all that, but I do know this, that whatever hell is, Jesus took my place, and He took your place, and He died in your place. He entered into darkness that we cannot comprehend. I loved my father. His birthday was yesterday. He would have been 79 years old. I miss him every day of my life. I think about him all the time. He was a man of God. He was my pastor. And if there was another pastor in your life, it was him, I believe. And my father, he and I had a good relationship. I remember just before he died, I didn't know he was going to die. He actually died of a pulmonary embolism. And I remember before he died, we had buried our son sometime before that, just months before. And I was with him, and he was paralyzed in a wheelchair. And I remember I had my head on his lap. I was 39 years old, and I was holding him and hugging him and weeping over my son's death. And I looked at my dad, and I said, Dad, I hope there's nothing between me and you. I said, I hope that there's nothing right now in your mind that I did that hurt you that I haven't fixed. I remember he patted my head with his hand. He said, you're my best son. Could I just say that again? He said, you're my best son. I found out later he said the same thing to Russ. He said the same thing to Darren. But I know he meant it to me because I'm a middle child. That's the place to be. I can't imagine saying to my dad, my father, why hast thou forsaken me? But Jesus did. Glory to his name. I want to preach to you this morning out of Isaiah 50, and especially the last two verses, if you'll notice, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. I'd like to take those two verses and speak to you a message I've titled, What to Do in the Darkness. You say, why are you preaching that? Because we wear the same skin. It doesn't matter what is your skin color. It doesn't matter what is your background. It doesn't matter what is your nationality. Really, none of those things matter. The truth is, we are fellowship. We're all in the same boat. Every one of us go through the same experiences. And I, as you, have often looked at the sunshine and only seen darkness. I, like you, have gotten up in the day and wondered, can it get worse? I'm not preaching to you out of despair or desperation. The pastor's right, we're in a transition, but the truth is I'm in the joy of the Lord. I thank God that He provides and guides, and He knows our end from the beginning. Say amen. And no matter where you're at in the journey of life, if you think you've got it all figured out, hold on, honey, it could change in a moment. I thank the Lord that He knows the end from the beginning. But I will tell you this, after 53 years next week, on the 4th day of July, I'll be 53. I've had a whole lot more sunny days than I've had dark days. I've had more days of brightness than I've had of cloudiness. I thank the Lord for that. Say amen. God has given me so many wonderful things. Often we ought to take inventory of our blessings. You know, when making a big decision, you want to write down the assets and liabilities. You never want to enter into an agreement without having full knowledge of the positives and the negatives, otherwise the assets and the liabilities. You know, if you do that, like we sang, count your many blessings, name them one by one, you'd be shocked how good God has been. Take inventory of how our Father takes care of His children. He watches over you. You might be here and you think nobody in this room knows what I'm facing, and you well could be right. It's a sad thing if you feel nobody even cares what you're facing. But I want to tell you, there's a Father in heaven who knows exactly what you're facing. He knows where you are, and He understands what you're going through. We preach a lot as pastors about what to do in darkness, what to do in difficulties. And the reason why, church, is the church is not a police station, it's a hospital. I'm one doubter preaching to a bunch of doubters trying to find the way. And I'm thankful that Isaiah 30:21 says, thou shalt hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand or to the left. Thank God that He can guide us, give us direction in difficult days, in dark days. I love this country. I said, I love America. I love my country. I'm from California. People think California is full of fruits and nuts, and it is. Our governor is otherwise called Moonbeam Brown. I'll tell you something. I thank God for this country. I thank God for our heritage and our history. But these are dark days in America. I want to tell you something. That clown up in North Korea, nothing to sneeze at. What's going on over in Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran is still something very concerning. What's happening today in the Middle East and otherwise called Palestine and all the different regions of this world, in the city of Chicago, the murder rate is out of control. It's a grievous thing. I drive this country now, and I guess I've driven over 3,000 miles in the last 3 weeks, and I go from church to church, and thank God I'm in good churches, but most churches are not like the Loomis Park Baptist Church. Most churches, you can fit the entire church in the choir loft, where otherwise it used to be all this seating. You're blessed to be in a church that is growing, say amen, amen, and happy in the Lord, and the averages are coming up. But these are dark days in our country, and these are not easy times in our country. You say, well, gas prices are down, and house prices are rising, and we're seeing an improvement in our economy, but every bit of it is volatile at best. What do you do in dark days? I think we find a solution here in Isaiah 50. The story is told of a man by the name of Arthur Blackwoods, a great writer and speaker and theologian. He said the recollections of in what he wrote called The Recollections of a Friend, he talked about a time a young man was very downcast and low in spirits. And no matter what his friends tried to do, nothing seemed to raise him up. They walked along until they came face to face with a fellow who noticed the downcast faces and quoted, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." Let's consider that from our text, what to do in darkness. Notice first of all in verse number 10, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord?" And I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord causes us all to recognize my neediness. And if you're here this morning, you listen to me, there is a God to be feared. You see, what do you mean by that? God is very serious about our sin. And he's very, very serious about what we do with his Son. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you and I are down here, friend. I don't care how you butter your bread or how you drive your car